Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Zechariah, chapter 13. Zechariah, chapter 13. Go to Matthew and go back just a few pages, and you'll be Zechariah, chapter 13. We're going to read verses 7 through 9. This is going to be just a little different. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. You join me on verse 9. I'm trying to save a little bit of time, so I'll read verses 7 and 8. You join me on verse 9, okay? Zechariah chapter 13, verses 7 through 9. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Grace Baptist Church. Lord, I believe you put this passage in this never-dying Word of God for our church for this service. May we get from heaven tonight what we need to receive, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. This passage of Scripture has been eye-popping to me. I don't know how else to say that. I believe it applies to our church in a very unique way. Now listen to me very carefully. As all the Bible is, it's applicable to us. Did you catch that? I abhor the philosophy. By the way, philosophy is man's thinking. But I abhor the philosophy. Well, the Bible was written to the Jew, not to the Gentile. No, the Bible was settled in heaven before there ever was a Jew. The Bible wasn't written to just Jews. It was written to every living human being. If you only apply the Bible to the Jew and just use the principles for you, you're perverting Scripture. Just so you know. God wrote it before man was created. God didn't write, Paul didn't write the Bible. God wrote the Bible and used Paul to pen it down. Well, we believe Hebrews was penned by or written by Paul because it has his style. No, God wrote it all. They're God's words, not Paul's words. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm going to make some very pointed statements here at the beginning. I do not want you to try to read in between the lines of anything I'm saying. I'm quite capable of making my thoughts very clear to you. Okay? This message is for Grace Baptist Church. I have no one and no situation in mind. This is for the health of our church looking ahead, not looking behind. Everybody catch that? I have nothing in mind of past, though I may use a little past to illustrate the future. Now, listen to me very carefully. Much has happened to Grace Baptist Church in 23 months. You realize in 4 weeks we'll celebrate our second anniversary? That's just exciting to me. It's hard to believe. I've given 5 years of my life in the last 2 years. we have seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of visitors. We have seen thousands of people saved. And that's not an exaggeration. We have baptized scores of people. We've had members come. We've had members go. By the way, I've watched that in churches running 10 or 20. I've watched that in churches running 20,000. It's just like any other church. Now listen to me very carefully. We've passed out over 50,000 gospel tracts. You are the trackingest people I've ever seen in my life. Brother Terry, Martinsburg's 18,000 people. We've passed out 50,000 tracts. No wonder when my daughter goes to the door, they say, I've seen that guy. Okay? It's amazing what happens. I get phone calls from people say, hey, can you tell your people not to leave your picture and your paper from your church at my door anymore? No. We've come to what I believe is a, and I'm going to use the word critical or important time for our church as we face the fall of 2014. Some have come and joined us. Some have gone to other places. Some will come and some will go. You say, why? That's how churches work. Okay? And that's not a critical statement. And everybody look at my God-given eyeballs for a second here. I'm not upset with any of them, just so you know. My heart's good right now. you don't understand something. I long for people to be at peace with one another. There's times I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning after a dream, and I've dreamed that one of my enemies has walked through the door of this church, came and listened to the preaching, and walked down this aisle and got themselves right. Whew. I don't know about you, that thrills my soul. I don't dream about how I can get back at them. I dream about them getting right with God, amen? God says here in Zechariah, there are a group of people. He uses the word sheep and shepherd. I believe that's a good illustration of church. He often uses that. And he says there's something that happened, and he uses a term here, the shepherd was smitten. It doesn't say he was judged, it just says he was smitten. And the sheep scattered. It does not say that they were equally divided into three groups, but he said there were three groups of sheep as they left. There was group A and group B and group C. And he said only one of the groups, in verse 8, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. Say, what are we? We're that third part. We're that third part that has been left therein. I'm excited about that. God says, he gives us a little five-step process that this part of the sheep that remained therein, what they went through, and how God used them. And I want to share that with you tonight. And again, look at me. There's not one drop of animosity right there. Not one. There is not a human being on the face of this earth that I could not approach and say, I love you, everything's all right. I mean that. I don't get upset over the past. You say, why? You can't change it, neither can I. Why get upset about it? Some of you are so grieved over the past, you have robbed your present and future. Some of you need to slap yourself, get right with God, and move forward. Plant yourself deep, produce, and go forward. And I'm going to show you what God says, that third part therein, how that they are blessed of God. And by the way, it says only this one part survives. I want you to notice the word, but the third part shall be left therein. Let me show you these five steps, and I'll be done. I'll move fairly quickly tonight. Number one, God says that he'll bring this third group through the fire. Can I tell you something, Grace Baptist Church? We have come through the fire. We've come through the fire. Most churches don't last 24 months and survive as strongly as this church has. But I want you to notice something. Fire has a way of cleaning up what man does not clean up naturally. Sometimes you have to put something through the fire to clean it off. There are certain things in life that you'll burn just to get all the loose edges off. Sometimes a man working with wood can't get all the little fuzzies off, and they'll just run a lighter over it and burn off all those little fuzzies and take a little piece of light sandpaper or emery cloth or something and knock it off. You say, what happened? You just burned off all the little things that were annoying and cleaned, for lack of better terminology, burned all the hair off of it. Amen? Kind of like when you light the grill the wrong way and it goes whoosh. You go through the fire. Amen? Wait a minute. A forest fire. Do you know that a forest fire is not all bad? It's rare that if you take care of a lot of woods, if you clean up all the dead wood and all the tinder, it would be rare that you would ever have a forest fire. The only reason we have the forest fires out west that we have is because the United States government won't let people go in and clean out all the stuff that man is supposed to clean up. If they would let people back in on state lands and pull out the wood that is dead, get down the trees that are dying and dead, pull up all the dry tinder out in California and out in Colorado and out in all those western states, we wouldn't have the forest fires we have. Man is not doing his job because the United States government is obstructing it. Oh, we want it to be just like it always has been. God said to clean it up. We're to be the caretakers of the earth. The reason it gets caught on fire is because man won't do it and God has to. You know, everywhere there's a fire like that, the woods gets thicker. All that ash turns the soil into very rich soil. The seeds burst open, take root, and you now have more woods and it becomes more and more populated with vegetation. Sometimes you have to go through that fire to make it productive. Now, I want you to notice something. Look at verse number 9 again. It says, and I will bring the third part, watch the next word, through the fire. He didn't say, I'm going to leave you in the fire. He said, I'm going to bring you through the fire. I know people that when the fire came, they jumped out and said, I can't handle the heat. Guess what? I made it through the fire. You made it through the fire. God brought you through the fire. I'm not much, but I can take it. I'm a survivor. I've been told that by more than one person. I've been through some battles. I've been through some fires. I've been through some struggles. Can I tell you something? It's okay. Fire doesn't last forever. That heat source doesn't last very long. You can take it. I love this. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to throw them into a fire. Guess what? They got thrown into the fire, but God brought them out of the fire. They didn't stay in the fire. I think it's funny. He throws three in. Jesus is in the fire with them. The king looks in. He said, how many did we throw in there? Three. How many do you see? Four. And the fourth is like the Son of God. Hey, fellas, what you doing in there? We're fine. Everything's okay. Well, come on out. I just think that's funny. Throw three people in the fire, see four, they're loose, walking around, and he's talking to them. They come walking out, not a hair of their head is singed, none of their clothes are burned. You say, what happened? God brought them through the fire. God brought them through the fire. Too many people look at the fire as punishment and judgment. God says, no, I just want to clean you up. I am so sick and tired of what people call intelligent Bible teachers. Oh, fire represents judgment. And every time you face the fire, God is judging you. Those guys have a hole in their head big enough to drive a Mack truck through. I hate to tell you something. God did not judge Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. God was purifying Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. God was cleaning off the dross. Every time the word fire is used in the Bible, it's not judgment. Oh, brass is this, and silver is this, and gold is this, and one is the number of this, and two is the... Those guys are idiots. Those are non-soul winners that don't have anything to do because they're too lazy to go out and tell lost people how to stay out of hell, that they got to make things up that God doesn't even know. Can I tell you something? There's only one place that has fire that God said is judgment, and that is hell. Everything other than that, God's trying to clean your sorry carcass up. Quit believing because you're going through the fire. Oh, God's judging me. God's not judging you. He's trying to clean you up, you whiny baby. I got to move on. God has and will continue to let Grace Baptist Church go through the fire. Say why? That makes you moldable. That makes me moldable. You know, when you're trying to shape steel, you know what you do to it? You heat it up, put it through the fire. You got to heat it up and then you can mold it. You're working with glass. They superheat special kinds of sand and silicas. Superheat it, put it into the fire and heat it up. And then they can blow it and mold it and they can do different things with it. Can I tell you something? God's going to put you through the fire so he can mold you into what he wants you to become. Some of you are just a hunk of lead with a bunch of dirt in it. He's got to heat you up to put you into something. He's not trying to judge you. He's trying to make you into something that is usable and worthwhile. Quit whining and complaining about the fire and go through it and become what God wants you to become. Amen. Number two. First of all, God says he'll bring you through the fire. Second of all, God says, I love this. He said, and will refine them as silver is refined. 25 plus years ago when my wife and I got married, good friend of mine, Brother Steve Whiff, gave my wife and I a wedding gift. It was a 1 ounce piece of quote unquote pure silver, 0.999% pure. 1 ounce. We still have it. It's got, I think, wedding bells or something imprinted on it. It's, you know, one of those cutesy things about once every 10 years you look at it and say, oh, yeah, I remember that. It's worth more now than it was 25 years ago. I have no idea how much it's worth. But that piece of silver, how was it refined? You know that when you mine for silver or you dig for silver, it's not pure. It is, it's melded in with other metals and rock and dirt. And oftentimes it has multiple kinds of other metals that it's all molded into in rock. There's only really in Bible days, there was the way they would refine silver is they would put those big chunks of metal and rock into a big pot and superheat it. And as it all began to melt, the silver would start settling to the bottom. But here's what happens that you don't understand. It's different. They don't just take it then and scrape the other metals off. What they do is they take air and they blow oxygen, they blow air across the top of that melted pot of hot metal. And as that air hits the lead and the steel and the carbon and the other things that are in that, as the air hits it, it oxidizes, it explodes out of the pot. And at different temperatures and at different amounts of air that are blown across there, the different metals come off. So they'll heat it up, blow a certain amount of air at a certain temperature, and let's say the lead comes off. Then they'll heat it up again and the zinc comes off. They'll heat it up again and another metal comes off. They start doing that and it oxidizes and blows out and they'll do that 7 times. Watch this. And all that's left is a little bit of silver at the bottom of the kettle then. Huh. The air of opposition will blow on Grace Baptist Church. But that air of opposition is there to purify, not judge you. Oh, just feel like things are going against our church. Good. That means I'm kicking the devil right where I want to kick him. Folks, you have to understand something. Soul winning is going to get attention. And not always good. The devil hates it. People are not going to understand our separational stance. Oh, I've heard about that church. That's that old-fashioned church. You betcha, Chester. That's where ladies dress like ladies and men dress like men. I'm glad you know the difference. You know, I don't have to put a sign out about what we are. People already know. Word travels fast. Everybody doing all right? The air of opposition is going to blow against this church. Can I tell you something? People have tried to oppose it. And guess what? People will try to oppose it. Lost people, evil people, and backslidden people will try to fight what we are. It's been happening for over 2,000 years. It's going to keep on happening, just so you know. That air of opposition is there, not because you're bad, but because God's trying to purify what Grace Baptist Church really is. The stormy winds may blow to help purify us. You know, there's going to be storms come. You know, sometimes the storms come, those winds blow. I remember my mom and dad were in Florida a few years ago when we got a real bad storm in the winter. I went to go check on their house, and they had lost about a third of the shingles on the backside of their house. Called my dad and said, we got a problem. It was in the early spring. It was right before they came home. He said, yep. He said, I need you to go get it fixed. We worked out the details, and I got it covered, and then had somebody come out and fix it for them. They were working with the insurance and everything else, and I just knew not having a third of the shingles on the backside of the house was not a good thing. Now, wait a minute. The stormy winds may come. Somebody's going to find out you have cancer. Somebody's going to find out that you have an incurable disease. Some of you are going to have financial problems. Some of you are going to be attacked by the devil. Somebody's going to have an adult child break your heart and break your home in ways that you can't imagine. I'm sorry. But God didn't do that to judge you. God's doing that to purify you. And by the way, I'm going to make a statement here. Listen to this statement very carefully. God doesn't always have control of the situation. Things get out of hand because God's not allowed to have control. Think on that one a while. Well, why did God allow this to happen? It could be that God wasn't allowed to have what he wanted, and because he wasn't allowed and he did not force himself on it, you got what you got. Everybody doing all right? I love this one. The wind of the Holy Spirit needs to blow you and blow on you to purify you. Some of you are so afraid to get spiritual. You might have to change something. Can I tell you something? I'd rather have the breath of the Holy Spirit on me than to have anything that I should not have. I'll take the power of God on my life and the power of the Holy Spirit versus anything I need to clean up. The Bible says that this process takes 7 times to reach purity. Each time it gets more harsh. And the more pure you get, the harder the battles will be. The harder the opposition will be. The world is dirty. The world's nasty. It's going to take some opposition to get it purified out of your life and the church. The fake metals that aren't pure silver need blown out. Phoniness will get blown out of Grace Baptist Church eventually. And by the way, I don't mean this in reference to even in the last couple years of your life. I mean this over the last 25, 30 years of my life. God takes the fake metals and gets rid of it to purify you. There are people that I thought were real that aren't real anymore. Everybody doing all right? That fake metal. That fake silver sometimes gets blown out of your life. You say, but I loved it. I was attached to it. I know, but God's trying to clean you up. Some of you are so weepy over the fact that what you thought was silver is lead and you're silver. Quit acting like the lead that got blown out of the saddle. Well, that's good. Number 3. God says that he will try us as gold is tried. Look at verse 9 again. I will bring the third part through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. Now, silver and gold are purified in different ways. Silver faces the air that's blown across it to blow out the impurities. Gold is purified by heating and melting everything. The gold settles down and they have to scrape off the dross. But here's what happens. You can't scrape it off all at one time. And you have to heat it to different levels to get it more and more pure. That means each time it's purified, it's taken to another temperature. You're going to go through the scraping process. You're going to go through the heating process. And each time it's heated a little hotter, the gold becomes more and more pure. If our church is being heated and tried, God believes it's going to become pure gold. Did you catch that? Oh, God's just judging us. No, God's purifying us, not judging us. Quit listening to the liberals. Quit listening to Mr. Schofield's Bible. Quit listening to the modern fundamentalists. That's an oxymoron. That's like Christian rock. Proverbs chapter 17. Let me read a couple verses to you. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 3. The Bible says, "The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 21. Let me read another verse to you. The Bible says, "As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is man to his praise." God is going to use a furnace, that refining pot for silver. That's that thing that they use to blow the air across to purify it. God puts the gold straight into the furnace. And each time he heats it up another level. Guess what, Grace Baptist Church? We're going to go through some fire. Had a dear college professor one time said, "Son, if God's putting you through the fire, he thinks you're worth the refining process." Thank God Grace Baptist Church is worth the refining process to God. We need to quit looking at the fire as judgment and look at it as God making us more valuable. Every time I go through the fire, I say, "God, what can I do to be more valuable to you?" I don't sit there and whine and complain about the fire. I realize it's not comfortable. I realize it hurts. I realize it's hot. But guess what? God wants me to be pure gold. I'm not going to sit there and complain about the fire. He's trying to make me more valuable. Trying to make our church more valuable. Number 4. God says, man, I love this. He says, "And I will hear them." Did you know God hears our church? God said, "I will hear them." Some of you need to learn how to get a hold of God and talk to God. He's listening. You say, "Well, I've talked to him and he didn't give me what I want." I didn't say he's going to give you everything you want. I did say he's listening. My children often have asked me for things I would not give them. But it doesn't mean I didn't listen to what they had to say. It wasn't always the right time for them to have what they wanted. When my first son started driving, and my second son was only 13 years old, and he said, "Dad, can I do that?" He wanted something he could not have. No, wait till you're 16 or 15 or whatever it is. But it's not fair. Might not be fair, but you're going to wait. You're going to wait. I didn't give him what he wanted then, but when it was able to be given to him, "You're almost ready, son. You going to take that test?" Amen, Donnie? He took it. He got it. Now, wait a minute. God promises to listen to you. Listen to this statement. Our God is not a statue. Our God is not a dead man in a grave. Our God is a living God who hears and answers prayer. You know, many Christians get mad at God because he doesn't answer the way they want. You're not God. God's not the genie in the bottle and you rub the bottle and say, this is what I want. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to take my toys and go home. Folks, some of you have tried to make God what you want him to be instead of you being what God wants you to be. Quit being like Adam and Eve. Say, well, I asked God for this and God didn't give it to me and I'm bitter. Listen to this statement. God knows what's best. God knows what's best. Well, we had a miscarriage and I really wanted a child, but God knew what was best. Well, I prayed for this loved one to stay alive and God didn't let that loved one stay alive. God knows what is best. Well, I don't agree. I didn't ask you to agree. But God knows what is best. Well, I know somebody and they were such a good person and they died and I can't believe God took that person that early in life. Can I tell you something? God knows what is best. Quit trying to play God's part. You do your part. I'm going to make a statement. Did you know that God not only hears you, he wants to hear from you? Do you know that God not only promises to hear you, God wants to hear from you? Folks, God made you to fellowship with you. Teenagers, did you know that you can talk to God anytime, anywhere? Hey, adult, did you know that you can talk to God anytime, anywhere? And God wants to hear from you. He may not answer you like you want answered, but he does hear you. Lastly, and I'll finish. I'm about to have a spell. It says, I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. I am a child of God. God is my Father. Not only that, he's not ashamed of me. Matter of fact, I get to be called a Christian, just like his son. Brother Smith, did you know you and I both are joint heirs with Jesus Christ? Everything God has, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I'm having troubles paying the bill. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Hang on, baby, it's coming. God doesn't always pay on Friday, but the retirement benefits are out of this world. Literally. Can I tell you something? My name is written in heaven, in the book of life. It doesn't matter what happens down here, I'm going there. Sat beside the bedside of a man last week or so ago, who's dying. And when he got saved, I told him this. I said, I cannot prove this. I would not disagree with somebody that disagrees with me. But I believe when God writes our name in the book of life, I believe Jesus writes it with his own finger in his own blood. Because it's eternal in the heavens. Now, I can't prove that. But I do know this. I know there is a book of life, and I know that my name is written there. I don't care what the ink is. I know it's not written in lead because it can never be erased. Now, you can believe what you want, but I know this. When I get there, I'm going to get to see it written with God's own handwriting. Heaven's my home. I never have to face hell. By the way, when God looks at my name, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ added to it and no sin. Can I tell you something? When God looks at me, he says, that's my boy. I'm proud of that one. That's my child. And the old stinky devil comes up and says, yeah, but did you see what the preacher did? He says, no, I didn't. He said, well, he did such and so. And Jesus steps up and says, Father, look at his account. It's got my righteousness added to it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And he says, devil, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't see anything. All I see is what my son did. The very things that Jesus did is what the preacher did. By the way, the devil's not a false accuser. He's an accuser. You're guilty of everything the devil accuses you of. But if you're saved, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Whew. I'll be honest with you. My daddy's sitting back there. I love to hear my daddy be pleased with me. I do. That just does something. But there's coming a day when I get to heaven, I want to hear God say, I'm pleased. I walk through the church building and I hear God say, son, it's what I wanted. It's what I wanted. I was in here praying this week and I was sitting back here. I was just looking at this beautiful auditorium. And I said, God, what do I need to change? He said, nothing. It's good. I was talking to Brother Hawkins this week. We had a shouting spell together. He was working on this nursery little wall out here. I said, Brother Hawkins, I said, can you imagine what, if we could get Brother Hiles back here for a couple minutes to walk through this building? He just started laughing. He said, Brother Bush, he said, Preacher, he said, Brother Hiles would be giggling like a schoolgirl. He said, can you hear the laugh? He said, oh man, yeah. I think he'd be pleased. I don't mean this the wrong way. I hope he is, but I don't give a rip. I want God pleased. I want to please my daddy, but you know what? If he's not, as long as God's pleased, it doesn't matter. I want my daddy pleased, but I want my heavenly daddy pleased. God said, if you go through the fire, and you go through the refining like silver, and if you're tried like gold, and you talk to God, you're his child. Not only do you get to talk to him, but he says, you're mine, and I'm proud of you. Grace Baptist Church, God's proud of you. God's proud of your faithfulness. God's proud of your giving. God's proud of how you've helped the poor, the needy, and those that have had special needs. God's proud of how that we have supported missions. God's proud of how we've taken care of many, many, many people. Been blessing to so many. God's pleased with your soul winning and passing out 50 plus thousand gospel tracts. Seeing thousands of people get saved. Seeing hundreds and hundreds of visitors. I don't know about you. I'm not done. I want to do some more. I want to do some more. I know what I'm asking. I'm asking for the devil to attack more. But if that makes us more valuable to God, let's do it, Grace Baptist Church. Let's do it. Are you willing to go through the fire to be more valuable to God, no matter what it takes? Zechariah 13, verses 7 through 9, I believe God gave it to us as Grace Baptist Church, for such a time as this. How about you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you have looked at what you've gone through the wrong way. God's trying to clean you up. He's not judging you. I wonder, are you willing to go through it all? Be tried like gold, be refined like silver, go through the fire and burn up some things in your life and clean you up. If you will, and you'll talk to your God, God said, you'll be my people. and everything's all right in my Father's house.